On this episode of the Ugly Truth About Business podcast, I have a fantastic conversation with Jill Bowmaker. Jill is a group strategist of Fresh Eyes in South Africa. She's a customer experience passionista working with hospitality, retail restaurants, beauty spas, facilities management, and so many other industries. You're going to enjoy this one.
Get ready.
Ready.
All right. For your wake-up call.
Wake up!
He promises to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and the ugly truth. It's your life and business strategist, Steve Harris.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Ugly Truth About Business podcast. And I'm super stoked to welcome my guest all the way from South Africa, Jill Bowmaker. How are you, Jill?
I'm very good, Steve. How are you going?
Fantastic. I hope you're staying safe. I hope your family is well.
Yeah, we're good. We've been very blessed on this side. I don't know much about what's happening your side, but we're in day 54 now. So yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I think here we're probably on day maybe 40-ish, I think it is. But how are you guys holding up?
Yeah, we're good. You know, I think for us, obviously, it happened, and in some ways we were very blessed that it happened quite quickly. The turmoil and the change, I think, is very normal to what's going on around the globe, except that in first world economies, I think they've got far more government backup and support than I think African countries have got. I'm not sure, you know, what it's like for your government. I know our government have tried, but there's such a backlog of relief coming through for businesses and for people. So it's been interesting, and it's been so interesting working with our customers, and we've actually gained a whole pile of more customers.
Wow.
With people just have gone into frozen mode. So I'm not sure how are you guys, I mean, what's the difference with you guys?
It's pretty much the same. Just recently, the government relaxed the lockdown, which we figure is a pretty bad idea because we're just climbing the peak of the curve. We're just literally ascending the curve. But you know how it is. The economy isn't exactly great. So people have to eat. People have to work. So we're just checking ourselves. Most of us who can are staying home. Those of us who can't are taking the risk to see how they can put body and soul together. But knock on wood, we hope for the best. We're sure it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, you know, has your routine changed since COVID began?
Okay. So essentially what happened when we were full blown, like flat out when COVID hit. And in actual fact, I was working with a group people the day before when they actually announced that lockdown was coming.
Right.
And we worked flat out that night, and I thought, oh yay, there's some time down. Very, now looking back, very short-sighted. I thought, well, this will be a couple of weeks, because I was actually quite disconnected from sort of the mass of all the size of it.
Right.
And I sat for 3 days and I just enjoyed it. And then I went into panic mode on day four. And then just decided that I better get out of it very quickly. So did a pile of research and realized that everything was changing.
Right.
And you know, I think as I don't know about you, Steve, but I think we have had so many plans about we must do this for the business, we must do that for the business, we must change this, we must introduce this, we've never done it. So on a peach, and I just said, okay, we've got to bite the bullet. We've got to make this time count for us big time. Because in that week, last week, all our customers said we're suspending services, because we do a lot of our engagement is face-to-face supported with technology, but they all suspended. And it was, I said to Peach, right, now we go into mode where you start reaching out. And it's been the strangest space, because we've been saying we must go online the whole time. It gives us a bigger footprint. It gives us this. It gives us all the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And it also allows us to deliver our services far more price competitively, but just never done it. So we've now done it. And along the way, we've been tapping in. We've kept connected to all our customers the whole way through. And that's been absolutely invaluable, because what we've got online with now is a result of the work we've done with customers, and Absolutely. We've seen their pivot, and we've had to look at our own pivot. So I think for me, I mean, I'm used to working from wherever, so I didn't have to go through that whole transition of working with a team and being isolated at home.
Right.
I mean, that's my thrive space, and I get so little of it in normal times that for me, that was a big yes, please. My biggest concern for economies, Steve, is how people think that when we come out at the end of this, that it's going to be the same. It's not.
It's not. I don't know why people think that, though.
Yeah. And we see clients, and it's so interesting for me because we've got a range of clients. So we work with very small businesses all the way up to multinationals. And we're seeing the same kind of at all sort of tiers. It doesn't matter what the business is. So we've got about 40%. It seems to be shrinking as people are kind of finally realizing that they need to go, but where they're just frozen. So they're not speaking to customers. They're not connecting with their teams. They're just frozen in like, okay, I don't know what to do. And we get some people, so you've got all the businesses, some are surviving, some are thriving, some have just died, which we know. And I think the harsh reality is if people are not using this time to upskill or to change direction, you're going to have to pivot as an individual, as a business, whatever it happens to be.
Absolutely. Well said. I mean, I totally agree with you on this one. Let's talk a bit about who Jill Bowmaker is, what you do, and what set you on this journey.
Okay. So I think deep at heart, I'm a bit of a rebel, which I think was my benefit.
I don't think you don't look like a rebel, girl. Come on.
So essentially, Steve, I wanted to study stage design. And for whatever reason, I've lived in Africa my entire life. I was born in Africa. And at the time where I wanted to study stage design, I could only have done it if my parents had funded me through Michaelis in Cape Town. And that didn't pan out, so I had to pivot. So I thought, well, I'll just do something that's going to pay me while I learn. And I went into hospitality. And from there, went on to the tourism industry.
Right.
And then for whatever thing, I don't even know how it started, but, you know, I would start doing stuff if we were doing something in a certain way and I could find a better way, I'd chirp and I'd say, well, there's an easier way to do that. And I was always challenging, always pushing the buttons. And it's so interesting because in later life, I meet up with some of my ex-bosses and they go, you were an absolute nightmare because you would never, ever just accept what was. You would always say, well, we could change it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was lucky enough throughout my journey to find somebody who kind of at a higher level. I left the Avis group that I was with at the time. I went on my own, got involved with BMW in South Africa in a luxury car brand.
Right.
We launched and then we ultimately sold back to Avis. And I was so lucky to have a mentor there who I think saw in me the value of somebody that could think out the box and was prepared to push the boundaries. And he just gave me a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more latitude to kind of develop within the Avis group and start pulling in, you know, the brands that they then subsequently spread out through Avis globally. And then one day I just thought, you know what, I'm doing this for somebody else's bottom line. I might as well go and do it for my own.
Absolutely.
So I split off. So I think the bit of the rebel kind of gave me the freedom, but it wasn't something that was conscious at the time. It was just, I think it's just wired in me. And I'm always looking for change. And I love change. I'm one of those rare individuals that absolutely thrives on change. A lot of people, so that for now has been amazing. But for a lot of people, change is incredibly unsettling. It brings through stress. It's not a great space to be in.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I love that you said that about change, because I was speaking to some of my people. I was talking to them about being able to ride on the waves of change. So obviously, if you've seen surfers at the beach, normally they tend to ride in the direction of the wave. And because they're well positioned with the surfboard, they tend to ride on what others are exerting effort and energy. And so they literally ride the wave all the way to shore. Now, in your experience, particularly with change management as well, what would you say the biggest skill? I know we've been talking about pivots. That's a word that's come up in our conversation a lot. But what would you say is the biggest skill that every entrepreneur must have to be able to ride this change out?
Wow. I think probably you're here. And so I'm going to say something weird. It's the biggest skill, I think, is working on your mindset.
Right.
And I think if you can get into the mindset of I can and I will, I think that's going to take you way further in terms of down the path. None of us know what is down the road 12 months away. Nobody knows that. But I think if your mindset is in the right place, and you're prepared to say that I'm prepared to upskill, I'm prepared to do stuff, and you take on an I can attitude, I think that's 90% of the work done. And if I look at customers, that I've got customers in exactly the same industry at the moment, and some of them are entrepreneurs, some of them are bigger businesses, and I've got equal multinationals. I've got some people who have just hit it and gone, we are going to survive, we are going to come out of this. And they've been incredibly agile in terms of looking at competitors, looking at other industries to see what they're doing, where they're going. And then you've got some people who are saying, well, we hope to come out of it. You can't hope to come out of this.
Right.
You've got to say, we are going to come out of it. And it might even be that you've got to shut the business down and recover. We've got a retailer that sells makeup. And they have completely pivoted. And their pivot in terms of going forward is their big drive was, we will keep all our staff employed. So they shifted and they've been making sanitizers now.
Yeah.
And they've now got a range that they've developed.
Okay.
So what they've done is they've said they're coming out of this, and their big division or their big focus is going to be creating, and they've got their designers in, and they've got, apart from the fact that their factory, their manufacturing arm has been kept busy throughout the whole period.
Yeah.
Their design team and everything else. So they're looking at their makeup experience. And they're doing all this PPE stuff, but with trends, so with current trends applied to it. And they're going to come out of this shooting for the stars. So I think it's mindset. If you've got the mindset, or if you can create a mindset, and you will know this in your space of as a coach. Yeah, so I think it's mindset. So for me, it's about, I think it's mindset and approach. And then I think it's actually actively acknowledging the fact that you are going to have to change, and you can either fight it or embrace it.
Right.
That for me, I think, is the kickoff. And the people that we've seen successfully move forward and utilize this time to the benefit of their future are the people that have had that attitude versus the other, can't do.
Absolutely. Because, just like you said, the understanding of how you're going to get through it, having a positive mental attitude as opposed to, looking down in the dumps is incredibly, incredibly important. Let's talk a bit about, your business. Are there some amazing highlights you've experienced as an entrepreneur that you'd like to share?
Okay, so I think my first space in entrepreneur was when I left Clarental for a while, and I went and did design years ago. And I actually went in to do design, and I would get called into these really arbitrary things to do. And I absolutely loved that. And I think what I loved is I'd gone from a very structured environment into a very creative environment. And that's where I really unpacked the power of creativity. And so many people say, but I'm not creative. I don't believe everybody's creative.
Right.
If you will allow yourself to be. And I think then, and for me, it's again the bit of the rebel kicking in. So I remember when I was at Avis, and I was in the corporate environment before I'd become an entrepreneur. And I call myself a corporateur because I was developing these new systems. And I remember the group of the FD called me up. And I had to go to a face-to-face meeting. And he said, I just need you to know that I will do everything I can to cancel what you are doing. You're wasting money.
Oh, wow.
And I went, whatever. Now, I could have walked out of that meeting and gone, oh my God, my job's on the line. I must just like fall into play.
Yeah.
Instead, he like stirred up the, you know, it's like middle finger syndrome. And I was like, I'll show you.
Got
and
it.
18 months later, we delivered 13% of the group profit on the bottom line. And I went back, I still made an appointment and I went back to see him and I went, Andrew. And he looked at me and he went, I'm sorry. But it was that. Wasn't so much the fact that it wasn't even about the money, it was just the principle of achieving. And then in 2010, where we had a hotel and we bought it after the 2009 global slump,
right?
And it was in dire straits, and everybody said, you're mad, you're crazy. And again, I think that is almost, that's why I say change for me is so exciting, because it's like, don't tell me I can't do something, because I show you I can.
Absolutely.
And I think if more people had that kind of like, I'll show you kind of vibe, they'll go in. And I think all of this has led me to where I am now, because I know that if I can help someone change their mindset, and we do in Fresh Eyes now, we do a mix of business. Our primary goal is customer experience.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have customers if your business isn't structured right and if your people aren't wired right. So a lot of our time is spent on shifting team cultures into appreciating everything that a customer stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find is when we're working with those people, and this for me is my absolute trigger, Steve, is when somebody finds, and it can be anybody, the most senior, the most junior, when they find their meaning, and how important their significance essentially of,
I
bring this to the table. So I might be a gardener in a hotel where there's 150 staff, but I am significant because I contribute.
Absolutely.
And that lights my soul. And, you know, and this is what's going to be so interesting for me, because when we work face to face, we work with these people, and in the beginning, we walk into a business or we engage with the business, and we've got a very shut down and you'll like read the room, because everybody attends a face-to-face training.
Yeah.
And you'll read the room and you'll see somebody who's just that, not somebody, often lots of people who just, they've got that mask on. And then those same people 3 months, because we work in 90-day programs, because mindset, it changes, you know, you know the story.
It takes
67 days to change a habit. And you're with them 90 days later and you just see these like, completely different people.
Yeah,
they're doing the same job, but they're significant, and that feeds my soul. I can't even describe to you. And we've had those breakthroughs, like I say, with people doing basic jobs through to managers, through to like high level people, and they look at us and they go, "What have you done?" And we go, "We haven't done anything." People are discovering it within themselves.
Yeah.
They're doing it. You know, so those are the highlights, I think. Yeah.
You know, that's amazing, because I can absolutely relate to that, because that's also what I do. So, you know, you literally said it. You turn the lights on in people's minds so that they can see with fresh eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is absolutely amazing proposition. And that's true. The moment you give people their why, the moment you help people recognize what's in it for them, this is how your role affects our goal, and that you're urgent, you're important, you're also part of something that's significant, they will find their own motivation, they'll find their own reasons, and they'll just naturally just, you know, keep going forward. So that is absolutely spot on, absolutely spot on, right?
Yeah.
Just as we're about to round this off, you know, the title of the podcast, Jill, is The Ugly Truth About Business, right?
Yeah.
Now, many entrepreneurs, you know, come in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They've got great visions of what the future, you know, holds as an entrepreneur. Unfortunately, you know, they didn't read the handbook, so they get hit upside the head and life happens. Are there any ugly truths about business that no one ever told you when you first started, that over the course of your career, you've discovered that, oh my goodness, if I'd known this from the get-go, man, I probably would have taken a second look.
Yeah. So I think the first one is, and this was a very big, harsh reality for me, is you're on your own.
Right.
So nobody cares if your business survives or doesn't. Only you do in the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
And that for me was like, oh, wow. But, you know, like, no, you're on your own. So that was the first one. I think the second one is I found that in terms of, this is the emotional stuff I'm talking about, is success comes at a price. So you'd think right. when you are successful, people will celebrate with you. And that's so often not the case, which drives me insane because they resent the fact that you found the way, you know, like through the maze and you're there.
Absolutely.
So, and you go back to then you're on your own. And another thing that used to drive me mad is when we used to hit on something really, really good, the competitors would try and copy everything we could do.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, what I would do is look back the whole time and go, who's following?
Right.
And I had to change my mindset and go, I don't care if they're following because they can't keep up. Again, it's that rebel instinct.
Absolutely.
Nobody can keep up with me. I'm going. And if they want to follow, then good luck to them because they're going to spend all their time focusing on that. And then cash flow.
Hmm.
I watched a partner of mine who'd come from corporate and Steve, she had a massive, massive portfolio, financial portfolio, share portfolio,
right.
property portfolio. She was worth huge amounts of money. And I would keep saying to her, cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. And she didn't understand cash in the bank is not cash flow.
Right.
Absolutely. And she lost everything, everything, shirt off everything.
Oh, wow.
And I was lucky enough at the time that I had pulled out of the partnership, like quite early on when I recognized that it was not a healthy place to be.
Right.
So I think if you go in, you understand cash flow because that's critical, and then understand that you've got to tap into what's inside you, because you are on your own when you start a business, and I don't know if that ever goes away. I mean, you might know better than me, but you're on your own.
You are still,
yeah.
You know, absolutely, because sometimes even your staff aren't looking out for you. It's just everyone is looking out for number one, and that's not you.
Exactly, and funny enough, this is one of the biggest messages we're getting from customers now going, well, our staff are expecting us to come up with all the solutions, and we're
right.
just exhausted. We've got our families leaning on us. We've got this, we've got that. And yeah, so sometimes I'm sympathetic and sometimes I'm very blunt and I just go, yeah, well, like, let's just yeah. move forward. It is you. You are on your own. So move on.
It is what it is. And that is an ugly truth, but it is absolutely the truth. You know, Jill, you've been amazing. I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast will love, love, love to connect with you in some way, shape, or form. Is there something that they can connect with? Do you got any coaching, memberships? Is there anything that people can just connect with you to take this relationship further?
Okay, so we actually have just launched a Reignite for your business post-COVID. And we've come in really, really at the low end trying to help entrepreneurs. And for me, my passion is Africa. So we've designed it, it's US dollar based, but we've kept the pricing lower for the people there. And I'd love to, we'd already done a special offer, but I'm very happy to give anybody that you've got watching this, if they want to come in, they can get a 10% off.
Awesome.
And for one of the people that comes through, I'm happy to gift them a course because hopefully, I mean, if we can get just one business and understanding that for me, a business is like a little mini economy within the bigger economy. And so it
Absolutely.
Goes. So if we can ignite and start people going post this whole lockdown, I mean, then there's a win for everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jill. I'm sure okay. you know everyone who's listening to this will want to be a part of this. Absolutely.
Okay. So if they want to reach out, we've set up an email address, which is basically steveharris@fresheyes.co.za.
Awesome.
They can reach out through that. Everybody will get a cheat sheet and something to help them through.
Yeah.
But if they want to reach out and then from there they can connect through, that would be great.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much. That's amazing. So we will definitely take you up on this offer. I'm sure everyone who's listening will definitely want to be a part of this. Jill, you have been amazing, absolutely amazing. Thank you for being a fantastic guest on The Ugly Truth About Business, and I owe you one, definitely.
You don't owe me anything, Steve. Now we need to bring you down south.
I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been, but I've heard it's so beautiful. I haven't been, but I have friends who've been quite a while, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, that's awesome. We'd love to have you down here. Thank you so much, Steve. It's been cool.
Thank you so much.
Okay, be awesome.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ugly Truth About Business podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please take a moment to subscribe, share it with a friend, and most importantly, leave a review and let people know that this is the podcast that they should be listening to on the internet. Thank you.